court you are found guilty, your sentence, death by hanging.
No!
Hello, viewers, and welcome to our podcast about the Salem Witch Trials. I am joined by Harley, Stella, Layla, and Luke. Our story begins in 1692, as a wave of mass hysteria ravages Salem, a small English colony in present-day Massachusetts. The townspeople became convinced that members of their community were witches, working for the devil. This culminated in the prosecution, trial, and execution of several innocent people within this town. Before the witch trials, there was already a large sense of paranoia within Salem.
Why were they so paranoid? I know that they were in the new world and didn't know what to expect, but they had the security of everyone around them.
The security in numbers was definitely helpful, but nonetheless, the colonial townsfolk were afraid for a few important reasons. The native tribes that inhabited the surrounding land of Salem were thought to be practitioners of witchcraft and worshippers of the devil. From these suspicions, the town was already very vigilant of any activity that could seem occultic, both from outside their community and from within it.
They kept track of who went to church and who didn't, who disappeared frequently from the town without reason and who stayed. And they were also very wary of any newcomers, outsiders, or slaves brought in from foreign lands.
Okay, but that could be solved by fortifying the town and like setting up a guard. Were there any other reasons that colonial inhabitants like were paranoid?
The other colonial towns neighboring Salem were gradually becoming less and less rigid of their Puritan ideals. The lazy attitudes of Salem's neighbors made the townsfolk of Salem feel like they needed to defend themselves, doubling down on their Puritan lifestyles. They denied anyone in their town anything that could be perceived as a form of sin.
Oh wow, I wasn't expecting that, but why the paranoia?
This paranoia and religious defense eventually hit its breaking point. Whether it was caused by hallucinogenic fungus growing on their food sources, or simply the boredom of children stuck in strict houses, the town of Salem underwent its horrific witch trials.
So when were the actual trials?
The actual trials lasted from June 1692 to May 1693. So the actual trial only lasted about 11 months. Throughout that time, many people were deemed as what was supposedly a witch.
What were they convicted of? Like, what crime was it?
The crime is supposed practice and knowledge in witchcraft, used to harm others, but it's all subjective and speculation.
So what happened when the trials rolled around in June?
So, actually, I think Stella knows more than I do, so I'll let her take this one.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Okay, no problem. I've got it from here, I guess. On June 2nd, 1692, the Court of Oyer and Terminer came together in Salem Town. Their first case was on a young girl named Bridget Bishop. She was a black sheep in the eyes of the hyper-religious Puritan lifestyle at the time. Most notably was when she danced around naked in the woods with other girls from Salem.
So she was emo?
She was only secretly this way. In front of the rest of the community, she was a model child of a perfect family. If she showed any side of this black sheepness to anyone else, she would be punished severely.
Harsh.
Absolutely.
Moving on from Bridget, her court case was adjourned after 20 days, and a bunch of other town folks from Salem went on trial. Most of those who went on trial were convicted and hung as well.
Five were hung on July 19th, and then four more a month later on August 19th, and then eight more a month after that on September 22nd.
And on October 3rd, the president of Harvard decided that the trials would go based on direct accusations instead of evidence. So now accusations were being thrown from left to right, getting to the point of the president's wife getting accused of being a witch.
It got so bad that the governor of Salem had to step in and make everything stop. For the time being, he started a superior court of judicature, which was instructed to not admit spectral or solely verbal evidence.
What happened after? Were fewer people convicted?
With the reformation of legal persecution of witches and the restrictions on what was considered evidence, the number convicted was reduced drastically. When the trials resumed in January and February, only 3 were convicted.
Yes, many of those involved in the cases would come out and say what they did was wrong in the following years.
Did any of the judges admit being wrong?
Yeah, one of them. He came out a decade later, acknowledging his error and guilt in the cases.
Then the court in Massachusetts apologized and declared a day of fasting in contemplation for the tragedy that had resulted from the trials. In 1702, the general court came out and proclamated that the trials were, in fact, unlawful. Obviously, many accusers came out and apologized for their false or faked accusations.
What about the actual court of Massachusetts? Did they apologize?
Yes, they did, in 1957.
Way later than they should have.
In 1692, Salem Village, which Puritans mostly settled, was suffering economic distress, and people were quickly to point fingers at everyone else. The accusers of witchcraft were mostly young females ranging in age from 11 to 20. These girls mostly accused anyone they considered to be an outsider.
When a group of girls became mysteriously sick, they accused Tituba, an African-American slave from the Caribbean, who had told them stories of witchcraft.
In response to growing publicity, the girls increased their reputation by fabricating a slew of new evidence against suspect witches and spreading the outrage to nearby cities.
Abigail Williams, the 12-year-old ringleader, Elizabeth Hubbard, Mary Walcott, Mary Warren, Elizabeth Proctor, Mercy Lewis, Susan Sheldon, and Elizabeth Booth were among the main perpetrators of the accusations.
The girls started expanding from accusing outsiders to accusing people they hated or feared of being a witch, with the help of their acting abilities to make it look like they were being bewitched in court, as well as their exploitations of subjective ruling on witches within the courts themselves.
The girls presented anecdotal evidence in court, displaying unusual actions such as crying, joking, jerking, barking, and screeching to indicate that their accusers were using sorcery to strike or manipulate them in some way. This farce was used in every case the girls were in, and each time the accused would be found guilty from the judge's eyewitness account of witchcraft.
The Salem witch trials more than 300 years later demonstrate how paranoia and gossip can destroy innocent people's lives, and the value of due process in defending people from false accusations.
After the rampage of these young girls concluded, about 200 people were convicted of practicing witchcraft, and 20 of the accused were executed. Authorities used the touching test to classify witches, in which people accused of witchcraft were forced to make physical contact with the supposed bewitched. The proof that a person was bewitched was a bizarre reaction to the touch, being spastic movements, sudden onset bouts of illness, or other forms of unusual response. Through this and other tests, 30 people were found guilty of witchcraft, and 25 were executed or killed.
19 were executed by hanging, 5 died in prison, and 1 was stoned to death.
Hanging, drowning, and burning were common methods of execution for accused witches. Burning was most common, especially in Europe, because it was thought to be a more painful way to die and thus more effective in cleansing the soul from the devil's clutches. In cases of witchcraft in the American colonies, in this case Salem, hanging was a favored sentence because it was a more resource-efficient way.
Those accused of practicing witchcraft or their relatives may technically respond to allegations by filing defamation lawsuit against their accusers. If proven true, defamation or slander convictions resulted in fines and public apologies from the defendant. But the most common scenario was for courts to charge the victim with lying and impose fine and additional punishment.
Okay, but why are we talking about this? How does all of this affect us today?
Since Puritans started to divide Protestant groups, the Salem witch trials prohibited a separation between religion and government. And this helped to lead to the principle of, quote, separation of church and state, unquote, that is found in the U.S. Constitution, and it's still prevalent today.
Today's government, as well as the United States of America's Constitution, declares that everyone is equal, fair opportunity and justice for all. Being put on a trial, like the witches in the Salem witch trials, was a matter of not getting fair rights. It was presumptively presumed. This often ran counter to religious convictions. Politics and faith seemed to be at odds.
The Puritans' religious beliefs at the time held that everything revolved around God. By morals, the Salem witch trials were against God, because they followed their own religious beliefs and witchcraft. The Puritans did not agree with the witches' religious beliefs, so they were put on trial. People can now practice their own religious faith, which has influenced religious opinions. Witchcraft, on the other hand, is considered ungodly or devilish.
The government and religious beliefs of today are far less concerned about the possibility of anyone being a witch and practicing witchcraft. Over time, America and civilization have reaped the benefits of this experience. Because of the political and religious social elements America has gained, overall the results shifted from negative to positive.
The Salem witch trials may have occurred many years ago, but they still tell a lot about us. This event can help us understand history and, of course, to not repeat the same mistakes again and again.
Despite popular belief, the Salem witch trials are a significant part of American history since innocent people were killed, it could have been avoided, and something similar has and could happen again if people aren't careful.
For decades, these trials have been a common study and debate subject, and they are often referred to as one of the most well-known events in American history. More than 170 suspects were tried, and 20 were executed in this short period of time.
About 160 people were charged with witchcraft, the majority of whom were imprisoned, and many of whom were deprived of their property and legal rights. Governor William Phillips put an end to Salem's special witchcraft court in October 1692. Accusations gradually faded and finally stopped.
The remaining cases were tried by the new Superior Court of the Judicature in January, and the jails were finally cleared. No one has ever accused of witchcraft in New England since the Salem trials.
Thank you!